Stop wasting time searching for deals on the guns and gear you want. Let Gundelio do the work for you. Download Gundelio for free, enable notifications, and start saving. You'll find hot deals, exclusive offers, and more. Trigger the deals. Gundelio.
All right, let's do this again. I'm Tom Gresham. It is Gun Talk. Yes, Gun Talk. We're going to be talking about guns. Buying guns, maybe selling guns. Owning guns, storing them responsibly, safely. Which guns to buy. How to find ammo. Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. And a whole lot of other things going on today. It is it's a gathering of somewhat like-minded people. I don't know. People are calling it Gun Culture 2.0. Could be. It could be. Just so many things going on right now. We're talking about constitutional carry being passed in Texas and trying to get it through in Louisiana. It's an uphill battle. We'll be talking to the sponsor of that bill. Also, one of our good friends testifies in front of Congress about the, well, I call them home-built, so-called ghost guns, and she has an interesting take on that. One of the giants of the firearms industry is calling for a boycott of the NRA. That coming up as well. Also, we have a story about a school employee, an armed school employee, stopping a kidnapping in action. Somebody tried to kidnap a young girl. Armed school employee. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All of that. And a whole bunch more. It is your chance to get involved. 866-TALK-GUN is our number here. You may have seen the stories. I guess this is your immediate action item to do in the next couple of days to contact the United States Senate, your senators. Joe Biden has put up a huge anti-gun proponent, not just a proponent, a spokesman for the gun ban industry to be the head of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, David Chipman. He is a paid employee of the gun ban lobby. It's hard to even imagine the audaciousness of the thing. And then when he was testifying at his nomination hearing, of course, he's the guy that's called for bans on so-called assault weapons, but he can't define them, doesn't know what they are, won't say. Of course, he's ducking and dodging, bobbing and weaving. He's a weasel. But this is a real threat. This is a real, serious, immediate threat. And something's going to happen on this quickly. My suggestion to you, I'm going to give out this number three times for you, okay? The U.S. Capitol switchboard, if you call them and say, I am from here, I live here, if you don't know who your senator is, okay, they will get you through to the senator's office. You could also go on the website. You could look them up online, send emails. Do both, but send an email and call the office. The switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. I'll give it again in just a second. You need to call and say, do not vote to approve David Chipman as head of the ATF. We want you to oppose that, to vote against that. It'd be like putting Wayne LaPierre in charge of the ATF. No one would agree to doing that. And to put a known gun banner, a spokesman, paid spokesman, from the gun ban lobby in charge of ATF after he has called for bans on privately owned guns. Come on. David Chipman. That number again, 202-224-3121. This is your immediate action item, all right? If you watch Fox News at all, you have seen the promos for Tucker Carlson going to get schooled up on America's rifle, the AR-15. Who did he go to for that? Well, our old friend Hickok 45. He's been with us a number of times here. He joins us again. He is, of course, a YouTube sensation, a hit there. Hickok 45, thank you for joining us.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
I am doing great. So give us the backstory. How did this thing come about, you and Tucker Carlson doing this piece?
Well, everybody knows I am a sensation and the most brilliant person in the country, right? Right. Yeah, some of the promos were a little much. You know, they cut out some of my laughing. build me up a little too much. You know, I'm just a jack of all trades. I'm not like you or Coley Noir who can really speak to this stuff. But anyway, they contacted us back in, I guess it was about it was before Christmas, probably November, and his producer, Charlie Cougar, really good fella, called, and I don't answer the phone generally, but I happened to be in the house and heard the message, and being left, and I picked it up. It sounded legitimate. I get a lot of crazy stuff, as sure you do. And of course, I pretended I didn't know who Tucker Carlson was.
Tucker who?
He said Tucker was followed the channel, watches the other videos, loves the videos, wanted to come down, and they're doing a thing on AR-15s primarily, and just loves to come down, shoot, and interview me, that kind of thing. I didn't know exactly what all would involve. And that's how it started. And it was January was when they wanted to do it. And, of course, it's the middle of January. It's cold. But we scheduled it, and they came down. And that's kind of how it came about. They just called out of the blue. I'm not big buddies with Tucker or anything. Been following him for a lot of years. I've always admired his work. But they came down and one Saturday, the whole crew and we had a good time doing it. It's how those things go. They just wanted to be here about half a day and that everything you try to get done. And of course they don't do it like John and I, bring out the camera. Let's do a video. I know a little bit. Right. I can talk about this and we're done in an hour.
It's a production.
Yeah, I'm sure you're closer to that yourself with production and everything.
Well, now, let me ask you, for those of us who have not seen it, what did you cover? What did you guys do?
They wanted to do it for Fox Nation, of course. And so that's where it appears, even though they've run a lot of promos on it. It really isn't that long. The part for people who haven't seen it, it's not a bad piece. It's not the end-all piece of all time on AR-15s or anything. But coming from Fox and everything, you can't hate that because they have such a wide audience. Mm-hmm. And Tucker is he's pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, and has AR-15s. It's not just some news guy stumbling in to get some views on something. He has AR-15s. We shot the AR. John brought his M16 out, his Uzi, and we shot those a little bit, too. And he shot a couple of AR-15s. I shot a little bit. We talked about it, and they brought in the drone recorders and all that kind of stuff. That was mostly what really went on film. We did a short little video. We had told him at dinner the night before we'd like to do a little something maybe. It was their thing. For Fox Nation, they wanted to come down, so it wasn't our thing really.
Right.
But
Fox Nation is their online service that they started doing, trying to get subscribers for that. I gather from the promo, part of what you did was trying to dispel some of the myths and the misinformation about AR-15s and what it is, how it came about. People call it the weapon of war, all that kind of deal. So you kind of addressed some of that.
That was the main thing. He talked about that. I mean, he knows all the lines on that too. So we talked about that, and some of that, of course, is in the final piece. And I was a little concerned. I talked more than I think what they had in there, and just wanted to be careful not to say anything stupid. Again, I'm not Tom Gresham or Coleon Noir. I just I know a little bit about everything, but I didn't want to say something to misrepresent us or anything like that. And plus, we had it's kind of weird. We threw it together. We thought we'd have some fun. We thought we'd do more shooting, of different guns and more, because we did a little gun show when he came in, and he really is. He's got, you can tell when someone has the gleam in their eye, they're truly a gun person. You pull out a Mauser, or a nice lever gun or an AR, whatever it is, you can tell pretty quickly, all right, this person is a gun person.
He's a gun guy.
He went back and bought a Mauser, in fact. He was telling me all about it. We followed up with a promotion out in L.A. We went out and he interviewed me there, and that was on one of the Friday shows. But so we're ready to start. He does everything live. It's not recorded, for later. He's just talking about his Mauser and the ammo he got ordered for, about 15 seconds, we're going on air. So he really does like guns, and we talked about it. But that's basically what we did. We just wanted to dispel some of those myths about the AR-15. That's what it was really about.
It's important to do because, you know, even among people who you'd think, oh, everybody knows, everybody on our side knows about this. Actually, they don't. There's a lot of people who watch Fox or might be even be conservative, might even own guns, who don't know much about the AR-15, which is, should we just go ahead and cover? It is a semi-automatic firearm. It's the same basic design, works the same way as guns have for 100 years. Nothing new about them.
And, That's right.
The problem is they have a look like military-issue guns, but they're not military guns, and they're not weapons of war, never have been. But it's useful when you're in the gun ban business to use that confusion, that misinformation out there, to say, well, we're going to ban these because this is what the Army carries. Well, no, it's not. I don't know of any Army in the world that carries these.
No, and he covered all that pretty well. The only concern was, and a couple of people expressed it on the channel, I noticed, and some of the promo material, of course, you know how that goes. You pull out some exciting pieces and different things, and as he's talking about the AR-15, some people think it's a weapon or whatever. He's obviously... the promo is just to let people know he's dispelling myths and this thing. But the piece he shows is like me or him shooting John's full auto M16 or something. So that, I don't know if that misled anybody or anything. But anybody that sees it, it's pretty clear what it is, what it's about. And he did a pretty good job. He had some hunters, which is really probably at least as useful as having me in there, which he had some. I'm not familiar with it. You might even know the names, Atkinson, or some hunters shooting hogs with them and hunting hogs, and then some trainers that I was not familiar with, you know, teaching, you know, just drills on how to use the AR-15 for self-defense. And so it was, there were kind of three or four segments like that. And then us at the range and everything. So, yeah, that's kind of what it was. And he's a good guy too. I followed him, watched him for a lot of years. I always thought he was a pretty sharp guy. It was good to meet him personally, have him here at the house for half a day. My mother-in-law was down. She's a big fan of his and everything, my grandson. Right. And he was just so good with everybody and just a really, really genuine sort of fellow. So.
That was terrific. I'm glad they reached out to you because you are a calming voice about this, a knowledgeable voice. And, you know, I just want to thank you for doing it because, I mean, I know it's one of those deals you go, yeah, of course we will. But the reason they chose you is because you do this so well. I just want to recommend it to anybody and everybody that they check out, if they haven't already, your YouTube channel. Just look for Hickok 45. I doubt that there are many people in the gun world that don't know you by now, but just in case, we're going to send them over there.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and it really would. I mean, you would have done a better job probably, but I just needed to make sure I didn't step on my tongue and just, you know, further the cause as best I could, because I don't do a lot of like gun rights speeches
but
you're
okay.
So good at, and I don't have all that on the tip of my tongue. I know the basics.
Yeah, you do a great job. Look, I got to scoot. I got to keep running here. Hickok, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you for this, but also all the other things that you do. And again, I'm going to direct people on YouTube. Go check it out. Hickok 45, easy to find there. Millions of people following you on your channel. Congratulations on the incredible success.
Well, thanks, Tom, and good to talk to you.
All righty, you take care. All right, open lines for you now. 866-TALK-GUN. Did you see it? Did you see the promo for this on Fox? I've seen the promo. I haven't seen the actual thing on Fox Nation. I haven't subscribed to that yet. Not sure if it will, but it might. Also, we got a lot of things coming up. We got a armed school employee that stops a kidnapping on school grounds. Huge stuff. 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back with more Gun Talk.
Have you just purchased your first firearm? Millions of Americans have made personal protection a priority, and Smith & Wesson has created a resource to welcome first-time gun owners into the firearms community. It's called Smith & Wesson Gun Smarts. Hosted on Smith & Wesson's YouTube channel, the Gun Smarts video series covers a variety of training topics. Become a confident, responsible gun owner. Visit Smith & Wesson on YouTube and see what Gun Smarts has for you.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Before computers, before engines and automobiles and roads, before all of this, there was the land, a great ocean of land with mountains black as night, standing guard over all that is and was and forever will be. This is the Black Hills of South Dakota, the place that made the people who make the best ammo on earth.
Visit black-hills.com for more information.
Back with the 866 Talk Gun, or just call me a Tom Talk Gun. That's pretty easy to remember. We can talk about, well, you can talk about the guns that you bought, the guns you're looking for, the things you're thinking about buying. I helped a fellow this week. He was, yeah, it's the same old deal. This one had a little bit of twist. What gun should I buy? And he has nice guns, but he wants a kind of a beater pistol, which was interesting. I said, you know, he said, well, I really, really like the Browning High Power. I said, well, then get a High Power. He said, well, you know, I'm going to carry it. I'm going to have it in the truck. It's like, well, okay. I mean, what are you going to do? Let it slide around on the floorboard of your truck and get it all beat up? I don't quite understand all that. If that's the gun you like, you know how to run it. But in the end, I said, well, you know, get a polymer gun. They start out ugly. I know. We got a whole generation of people who grew up on polymers. They think that they're gorgeous. They're not. Come on. They're just utilitarian. They work. Don't get me wrong. They work, and they work really well, and they're very dependable. And I have a bunch of them, and I use them and carry them and have them for home defense and everything else. We call them combat Tupperware, which is, I always thought that was a funny deal. Of course, you got to be old enough to know what a Tupperware is, I guess, for that to make any sense to you. He ended up getting a... what did he get? Smith & Wesson Shield Performance Center. Good gun. Nice gun. Good trigger. It'll work just fine. I mean, nothing to worry wrong with that. In fact, I think it's one of the better ones out there. Excellent. It's always a case of matching the need, to the gun. What's the mission, we say? What's the mission? Oh, yeah, thank you, Michelle. Caller just called in to let people know that if you are a veteran, you can go to Fox Nation this month and sign up to get a free year on Fox Nation. Good reminder. And speaking of veterans, of course, this is Memorial Day, where we remember the men and women in uniform who gave their lives for us. Don't ever minimize the sacrifice and the service of those who go out. Here's the deal. And it's a hard reality for people to accept, whether it's on a personal level one-on-one or a nation, global or nation situation. Force is required. Sometimes it's the threat of force, the assurance of force, the knowledge that force is there to back up the will. But force is always required. Some idiots will say, well, violence isn't the answer. Oh, actually, sometimes it's the only answer, and it is the correct answer. When someone comes and wants to hurt you, reasoning with them is not effective. It's not going to save you. It's not going to save your children. It's not going to save your wife. It's not going to save your husband. You're probably going to have to use force, or at least the threat of force, or at least the show of force. It is exactly the same way with nations. If you appear weak, if you are weak, you will be taken advantage of. You will be run over. You will be blitzkrieged, if you will. Force is what keeps us free. Having it and being willing to use it. And that is on a level of nations. It's also on the level of you individually. Knowing how to use a firearm, being willing, getting the training. I was just reading something this morning. Let's see. Yeah, I got time to talk about this. This is a cool drill, the 5x5 drill. I think Gila Hayes actually came up with it. It's a great writer, good trainer. And I was kind of reminded of it. I was reading something today about it. It's very simple. It's just basically it's a way. It's not an advanced drill at all. It's basically a way to say, okay, am I at least up to the bare minimum? 5-inch circle, okay? A 5-inch circle drawn on a piece of paper. Put an aiming dot in the middle for you. You shoot 5 shots at 5 yards into a 5-inch circle in 5 seconds. 5 shots, 5 yards, 5-inch circle, 5 seconds. Don't even have to do it from the draw. You can do it from low ready. You're holding the gun in 2 hands, low ready position. You need a timer, or you need a buddy with a, you know, a stopwatch, I guess. But a timer is a better way to go. 5 shots. I know, if you're a shooter, you think, oh, that's easy. Well, it might be, but it's not easy for everybody. And if you're new to this, it's not easy at all. You might be amazed how many people can't do that. But if you're just wondering, where am I on the scale of things? Of course, if you're wondering, then you probably are already doing something about it. The problem is a lot of people don't wonder. They think that they're good enough. They're good. They're God's gift to ballistic superiority or something. I don't know. 5 shots into a 5-inch circle at 5 yards in 5 seconds. It's a really worthwhile drill. What you will find, you may spray a little bit. You go, okay, I got to work on this. What am I going to think of? If you need to work on this, probably you don't need to work on the sights. Quit worrying so much about sights and start thinking about trigger. Trigger is 90% of it. Sights are 10% of it. Maybe. Trigger, 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 trigger. Press. Not yank, not jerk, not pull. Press. You come up from the low ready, you get on target, and then it's press, 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 press. 5 shots, 5-inch circle, 5 yards, 5 seconds. Cool stuff. Hey, when we come back, I want to tell you this story about an armed school employee who stops a kidnapping of a young girl. We'll have that coming up right here on Gun Talk. I think it's always interesting when you can put several different things together, things that you're hearing about in the news or things that people have talked about, and you go, yeah, but let's combine some things. Things you're hearing about. We know that people use guns in self-defense a couple of million times a year. Generally, they don't have to fire the gun, but it's still an effective means of self-defense. When you have your gun, maybe you point it at somebody, maybe they run away. Okay, that happens. We also know that throughout the country, different states have had laws passed where they allow teachers and school employees to carry guns. And there's a lot of uproar about that. That's terrible. Why would you do that? Yeah. You know, all sorts of actions are going to happen. Yeah. But it's rare when you actually are able to put like more than one of these things together and you have a self-defense use of a gun by a school employee. It happens, but it's rare. Well, one just happened out in Utah, and joining us to talk about that and give us some background on that is Clark Aposhia. He is, of course, a gun rights activist in Utah as well as a firearms trainer out there. Clark, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm chairing the Hickok for NRA President campaign currently.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Wasn't that great?
Wouldn't that be?
Oh, man. You know, and what people may not know, watching him on TV. In fact, I was going to ask him. I forgot. I wanted to ask, because I don't know how tall Tucker Carlson is, but Hickok is about 6'7". He's
so easy to spot at, like, the SHOT Show.
Yeah,
at the SHOT Show, you can spot Hickok.
Hickok and his son, John, I think John may even be like 6'8". They're just towering above everybody going by the crowd. And I don't think Tucker is that tall, so I think they may have positioned Hickok a little bit downhill from him when they were talking.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, so tell us about this story that I saw in the news out there.
Okay, real quick, there was a elementary school, you know, as is typical. They're out on the playground, which is adjacent to a park in Ogden, Utah, Lincoln Elementary. And a school employee notices a guy, not a school employee, you know, shouldn't be there, 41-year-old Ira Cox Berry, walk up to an 11-year-old girl, grab her, and start to take her away. school employee runs over and says, hey, let go of her right now. And the guy lets go, and he ushers all the kids into the classroom or into the building and locks the door.
Okay.
All right. So the guy, this Ira Cox Berry, 41-year-old, starts pounding on the window trying to gain access in.
Oh, geez.
School employee realizes that he doesn't know how many more punches it's going to take before this guy gains entry. Doesn't know, you know, if he has a fire. He pulls his gun. Pulls his gun, levels it right at the guy while he calls 911 and holds him there until the police arrive. Police arrive, arrest the guy for a forcible felony, attempted kidnapping. And forcible felony is the worst kind of felony that you can commit. And it's justified to literally use deadly force against a person who's in the commission of that. So anyway, that's the way it is here in Utah. And it kind of differs or contrasts with what happened in Idaho recently, where another school employee didn't use a firearm and things worked out well for a female student who was shooting people. But it brought me to the recollection of an Al Capone quote that said, you can get a lot more with a kind word and a gun than you can with a kind word alone.
So what's the history of teachers and school employees being able to carry guns in Utah?
In Utah, 22 years, we had no pattern of problems in 22 years that we've been able to do it. You do not have to be a school employee. You don't have to get permission. You do not have to notify administration in any way whatsoever that you're carrying. Moms and dads can carry there as long as they have a Utah-issued concealed carry permit. That's under federal law. It's got to be issued by the state in which the school is located.
Okay.
And the district is not allowed in statute or in rule to modify or put restrictions on that. Some of the districts say, well, you have to have it on you, which is a good idea, but they wouldn't allow them to lock it in a drawer or something like that.
Okay.
But still, they technically can't do that even though we recommend you keep it on them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. We've had no problem. We give free classes to school employees. In fact, that's how I met my wife, Tom. Was
really?
I met Casey back in 2012, right after the Newtown school shooting, and we put on a huge class at the big sports arena free to school employees. So yeah,
obviously I'm a gun. So it strikes me, and we say this a lot, and I know you do the same thing because you know you do outreach to the media through the media, you know, through radio and everything else. And the story we keep telling people is: look, all the stats for the last 20 plus years are that self-defense gun uses number anywhere from an extremely low number of 500,000 times a year up to 3 million times a year in the U.S. We're not sure. And people say, well, that can't be possibly true because I never hear of it. You know, you can't be saying that many people are getting shot. And the point is, no, generally speaking, you don't have to shoot somebody for it to be a self-defense gun use. This seems like the perfect example of what we're talking about.
That is exact. You hit it right on the nose, is that there were no shots fired. And this is typically, I don't know, I'm taking a guess, 95-98% of the time when a gun is introduced by a good person, it stops it and they don't have to actually shoot it. Another thing the media loves to say is, well, we don't want, well, the media and the hand-wringing bedwetters out there like to say is that, well, we shouldn't be arming teachers. You know, Utah doesn't do it like that. We don't arm our teachers, our school employees, but what we don't do is we don't disarm them either.
Well, that's a great way to put it because you're right. One of the things they say was, you know, we shouldn't be arming teachers as though you're going to force teachers to carry guns. I actually don't know of anyone who has ever suggested that. Now, what they do say is that you should allow it, you should not, or even better, let's put it this way, you should not prohibit it so that people who want to have a gun for their own protection as well as to protect the children, you know, can do that. I mean, how many times have we seen, Clark, school shootings where they have to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait for the police to show up? I mean, and look, if the police get there in 4 or 5 minutes, that's quick response time, but that is 4 or 5 minutes too long.
You know, and you're exactly right. And we always see the media, they focus on the huge response, the trucks, the guns, the dogs, the equipment, the ATF, the FBI, the sheriffs, the police, they're all there after the fact. It won't matter how many people show up after the fact. You can't make up for that, but you can if you had one person with a gun.
Imagine this kidnapping attempt if you said, okay, I'm going to respond to this in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, really, exactly. That's what we're talking about. And he says, okay, I'm watching this guy trying to kidnap an 11-year-old girl. I'm going to set my watch. And when 5 minutes is up, if he hasn't stopped, and if he's still here, I'm going to go do something about it. It's insane. It was crazy.
But that is literally what's happening, though. That's actually what's happening.
So, you know, we're going to give them 5 minutes to do whatever it is they want to do. Or we can let the people who are on the scene have their own guns for protection. And look, you're a trainer. You know, even if you have no training, you can still be somewhat effective. If you have even just a little bit of training, you can increase that effectiveness many, many times more than that.
Exactly. And, you know, and we tell folks, you know, we aren't expecting the teacher. We expect the teachers. We expect everyone that carries a firearm for lawful self-defense to engage up to the level of their training. And that's what we typically see is people will only engage up to the level of their training.
Mm, excellent point. Clark, thank you so much. How do people keep up with what you're doing these days?
UtahShootingSportsCouncil.org. I have a fantastic board with Utah Shooting Sports Council. We can always use, you know, memberships. And you can just sign up for free, though, and get our alerts and that type of thing. So, yeah, always happy. Thanks for the plug.
Oh, you bet. And everybody needs to belong to their state groups because that's a lot of times where the rubber meets the road there. Clark Aposhian, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, you take care. 866-TALK-GUN. What do you think about school employees and teachers carrying guns? They've been doing it for years, 22 years in Utah. Have you heard of a problem in Utah? Have you heard of a problem anywhere with this? Probably not. 866-TALK-GUN.
Celebrating 75 years of innovation wasn't enough for Timney Triggers. Timney decided to go big and introduce a game-changing Alpha Competition Series trigger for handguns, a first for the company. Currently available for Glock Gen 3s, 4s, and 5s, these new triggers offer a 3-pound trigger weight and crisp trigger break designed to keep you on target. And like all Timney triggers, are easy to install and come with a lifetime warranty. Find out more at TimneyTriggers.com.
Your gun rights are under attack as never before. Joe Biden's administration has promised to rip away your constitutional rights, making good on the promises they made to the gun ban lobby. It's time to get off the sidelines and get in the fight. The Second Amendment Foundation's actions in dozens of landmark lawsuits have pushed back these gun grabs, but we need your help. Join and support the Second Amendment Foundation. Go to saf.org. That's saf.org.
Kimber doesn't do status quo. Their Rapide Black Ice 1911 is the latest proof. Its looks alone have made it one of the hottest handguns on the market. Here's what else it brings to the table. A DLC-coated barrel, slide lightning cuts, two-tone silver and gray Kim Pro 2 finish, black G10 grips, high-vis day-night sights. It's absolutely loaded. Get the rest of the story about the Rapide Black Ice at KimberAmerica.com.
About that drill we were talking about earlier, that 5x5 drill, just a way to go out and see kind of how you're doing, where you are. You shoot with your handgun from the low ready position, which means you're holding the gun with two hands, not in a holster, and you're pointing it roughly at the ground, 45 degree angle between you and the target, not at your feet. And the target is a 5-inch circle on a piece of paper. And the deal is you shoot 5 shots at 5 yards into a 5-inch circle, and you have 5 seconds to do it. It's not really a particularly demanding challenge if you are much of a shooter. But a lot of new shooters will find it difficult or challenging, and a lot of people who think that they're good will find it challenging. And I was thinking about that and thinking the question that a lot of people should be asking themselves is, how good am I, or am I good enough? Well, the last one you'll never know. But how good am I? That's one of the questions that you can get answered through competition. USPSA, Action Pistol, IDPA, find some form of competition, go out and try it. You could do it at a very low level. You don't have to be super shooter or anything like that. You'll have courses of action, courses of fire that you can shoot. And here's the thing. You know, you see the videos of people running and gunning. They're running up and bang, 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 run, run, bang, bang, bang. You can walk. Oh, you think, well, oh, I won't score well. I know. But I first IDPA match I shot, I walked through it. Why would you do that? Because I just wanted to get the feel. This was 30 years ago. I wanted to get the feel, how it works, what's involved. And I was using it, and I still would, except that almost all IDPA matches seem to be held on Sundays where I'm doing the show, so I can't do them. But it's okay to go to them and say, I'm just going to go at my pace. I'm not trying to win this competition. I'm just using this as training, as practice, and as a press to test deal just to see where am I right now. And I guess the suggestion would be, it'd be good for all of us to say, how good am I? What is my skill level? If you're taking training regularly, you probably have a pretty good idea. You're out shooting at targets, you're doing things. But if you only recently bought a gun for self-protection, or if you've had guns forever but you've never taken training in self-protection shooting, which is different. I know people say, I've been hunting all my life. I've had guns all my life. Great. Doesn't mean anything. And I know you're thinking, he doesn't know what he's talking about. On this one, I'm actually correct, okay? It doesn't mean anything. I've been shooting all my life. Don't care. I've been hunting all my life. Don't care. Well, I have more than 100 guns. Don't care. It doesn't matter. Try the 5x5 drill. If you can't put five shots into a 5-inch circle at 5 yards in 5 seconds, you're not ready. That's not particularly difficult. It does require you to be able, you have to be able to manipulate your gun. You have to be able to fire your gun. You have to be able to aim it, hold it on target, and press the trigger. Because chances are, if you're missing, you're yanking the trigger, jerking it off, you're getting in a hurry, you're not focused, you don't have a hard focus on the front sight. This is where, you know, I'm telling you, a little bit of training goes a long way. Go take a real class. I mean, look, not everybody can go take a 5-day class that costs a couple of grand. I get that. But you can take a 1-day class locally that might cost you a couple of $100. Money well spent. When I used to do lectures in photography, and people always want to know, you know, what camera should I get? What lens should I get? What's the coolest gear? And I would always stop them and say your next lens should be a tripod. Because that's how you're going to get better pictures. In this case, your next gun should be a training class. Yeah, I got $500 I want to spend on a gun. I got $1,000. Can I make a suggestion? Because chances are you already have some guns. That you apply that $500 or that $1,000 or whatever it is you're going to spend on the next gun on a class, a real, no kidding, self-defense training class. First of all, you're going to find it to be really fun. It's very enjoyable. It's also going to open your eyes to the whole, I had no idea how much I didn't know. It will also make you safer. It will also help you be better equipped to protect yourself and your family. And maybe start living up to your image of how good you think you are. Oh, gee, did I say that out loud? You're not as good as you think you are. None of us are most of the time. 866-TALK-GUN. All right, back with you, Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk. 866-TALK-GUN is how you get in here. Let's see, Harvey did that out of Wyoming, line 4. How you doing, Harvey?
Yeah, I've got a complaint and a suggestion.
All right, go ahead.
We use assault weapon, and never again use that. Use it personal defense equipment. personal defense equipment. It changes the color of the whole thing. Because in Russia, in the Bolshevik Revolution, 300 million unarmed people were murdered, died, and that's exactly what they want here, us to be armed, and we're not assaulting anybody. We're defending ourselves. It's not a weapon. It's a defense equipment.
All right. Let me ask a question. Have you listened to my show for very long?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm surprised, because I don't use the term assault weapon. Ever.
Ever?
The only time I say that is when I say so-called, or they call it that, and then I say it is a rifle. That's all it is. It's a rifle. So please don't be telling people that I'm using that term, and don't be trying to hold me up on that, because I don't do that. I'm the guy who for the last 20 years has been saying, don't use that term.
Attention. Yeah, we need to use personal defense equipment when we even use the word weapon.
That changes
the meaning of it.
I just say it's a rifle or it's a pistol. Now, if you want to call it a personal defense equipment, that's fine. Or we could call it the modern sporting rifle, which is what the National Student Sports Foundation calls it. That's fine. I call it America's rifle. But, look, I was using a semi-automatic rifle when I was 11 years old to hunt deer, and that's more than 50 years ago. Semi-automatic with a detachable box magazine to hunt deer with more than 50 years ago. So I clearly understand what these are all about.
Yeah, yeah. Use that personal defense equipment much as you can, because it changes the color of the whole thing. Because most people, the drones out there does not equate equipment with personal defense with a assault weapon.
Yeah, you know, Harry, and look, I appreciate what you're saying. It's all about changing the language, because the gun ban industry is really good at carving up or putting together these terms, assault weapons, Saturday Night Special, weapons of war. I mean, they're really good at that. And then, of course, the media picks up on it and they parrot it. And it's a way of changing the dynamic. It's like, I don't think we should ever say ghost gun. We should say home-built firearms. And we'll talk about that shortly on the show as well. But, yeah, it's a gun or it's a rifle. And what's even worse is sometimes the media picks up on, and police will actually use the term assault rifle. Just guarantee it's not an assault rifle. That's a select fire firearm by definition. The problem is, for those who know, let me just give you the quick history. The term assault weapon was basically created by an anti-gun activist who said, look, the public doesn't know the difference between semi-automatic and full automatic. And he wrote about it. We're going to be able to confuse them on this. We will use this term assault weapon. They will think we're talking about machine guns. We can get them behind us in terms of banning this particular type of gun. We know we can't get them all at once, but we can carve out this slice. We'll demonize them. We'll frighten the public using this term assault weapon. And we are idiots. I agree with Harvey on this. We're idiots if we buy into that and use that. We should not use the term ghost gun. We should not use the term assault weapon. Why would you give them that power to change the discussion? It's a firearm, or it's a personal defense equipment, if you prefer. It's a rifle, all right? But don't buy into their language, because language is power. And I know the media is going to do what they're going to do, but that doesn't mean we can't challenge them on it every single time. We challenge them on this. I tell you, when we come back, we're going to be talking about constitutional carry. One state just passed it, and another state is trying to get it through, and we're going to need some help on that in the next few days.